From the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
This Tuesday. This is Robin, and I'm not with Cliff. I'm with Lilani today, who is the campaign manager for Joe Ray Perkins, who is running for U.S. Senate. Say hello.
Hello.
Okay. You talk a little bit closer to the mic. This is her her first time on radio, so what I'd like you to do is give us a call if you have any questions for her or anything you'd like to talk about. 646-721-9887. We can talk about Joe Ray's campaign. Or we have a whole list of nice stuff to talk about. Anything ranging from politics to what your favorite color is. So the board's wide open. 646-721-9887. And again, if you're listening to us on the archives, you can send us an email at krbnradio.com. So give us a call. Let us know what you think. So, Lilani, how's Joe Ray's campaign going so far?
I think the campaign's going quite well. She's all over the place, traveling the state. She's very busy. I believe today she spent a good chunk of her day in the war room up in Salem. I think it's doing very well, actually.
I heard that she ran into a little bit of problems with the one of the conferences coming up?
Yes, that would be the Dorchester Conference in Seaside, Oregon. It's supposed to be the weekend of March 7th. We received a letter stating that she was not going to be invited to that candidate forum. And we have since found that two other candidates were invited, and they made apparently they have a vetting process, and they're the only two candidates that are going. And mind you, there are five candidates running to oust Merkley, and only two of them will appear at Dorchester.
I understand they didn't give her any reason for not allowing her to come speak.
No, not necessarily. There was no clear reason. I mean, you can assume all you want. However, they just decided. They said something to the effect that the board of directors decided not to extend an invitation to Joe Ray Perkins to participate in the candidate forum.
So once again, it's the media who's deciding for us who is going to actually be elected versus, somebody that the people would actually want or is interested in.
Exactly. Now, I have my own personal opinions on why she wasn't invited and the other two candidates. However, I guess my main issue is, once again, there's a select few that are making the choice for me and you as voters
right
on who can be heard and who can't.
Now, do you feel that the other issue being invited to other forums? Or?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. She has attended every single forum except for Dorchester.
And I understand that the forums that she does show up, that she does have quite a following, right?
She does have quite a following. Absolutely. She's very firm and fast in her belief. You know, she is pro-Second Amendment. She is for liberty and freedom. She is pro-life. And these are, topics that come up regularly for conservative Republicans. And I think we're all getting a little bit tired of Merkley's in office. that are wishy-washy and vote one way and then say, oh, man, I wish I hadn't voted that way. And, you know, when he's called out on, you know, out on the carpet, basically, for his vote when he's supposed to be representing the people. I think a lot of people, especially if they're outsiders to the state of Oregon, believe that we are a blue state. And the national media likes to peg us as a blue state, but really, if you think about it, we are a red state. We have two pockets where it's blue.
Right.
And so I think we've kind of been pigeonholed. So I guess at the very least, we're a purple state. you know what I mean? But Jo Rae, bless her, because she is a woman of integrity. She's a woman of conviction. And she's what we need to turn this country around. And I believe that our 2014 elections is the biggest hurdle that we have. We have got to make major changes if we want to salvage our liberty and our freedom for this country.
I totally agree. In fact, one of the things that annoys me when a candidate, especially one that is not one that you heard of in the mainstream, they come out and they participate in these elections, and then they disappear. Well, Jo Rae is not taking no for an answer on this conference. She's going to be there. She may not be inside speaking, but she's going to be there.
She is going to be there. She is going to set up a table, and she is still going to get her message out. It's unfortunate that this particular group of people, a small group of people, have decided that her voice and two other candidates are not worth hearing. And I guess, you know, we'll let the general voter population decide what their reasons are, because we don't have a reason. And I'm not going to speculate what that reason is. I just have my own opinions on why. And however, she's still going to be there. She's still going to do her thing like she so graciously does.
Well, and like we're saying, is that what is it that makes like the conference makes them decide what candidate to pick? I mean, is it the polls? Is it the fact that we're dealing against money? Is it,
You know, part of me wants to say, just like anything else, like you see, you know, presidential races and other races throughout the country, that it seems to be the guy with the most money is the one that usually is elected.
Mm-hmm.
And I am thinking it's possible, it's very possible that because of the amount of fundraising that the two that are participating in the forum, the fundraising that they've done overshadowed the other three candidates. And I don't think money should be a factor. The amount of fundraising that you did prior, I mean, I don't care personally how much money somebody has. It's their message. Are they good character? Will they stand firm? Those should be the things that are important. Maybe we should stop looking at how much money somebody has and start looking at what their character and their message is.
Totally agree. And part of the conversation that's going on Facebook when Jo Rae announced that she will not be attending, a lot of people are kind of going, oh, you know, that's too bad. Well, instead of saying that's too bad, we, even though the media has pretty much decided who is going to go up against Jeff Merkley, we still have the power to get out there and use the tools that we have available. This forum right here, for example, is one method. Facebook is another method. Show your support. You know, get your message out there. Let the media know that Jo Rae is important and needs somebody that I'm going to call her old school. She's honest, in my opinion. I've had the honor to have coffee with her on several occasions and got to know her a little bit. And I really believe that what she's telling us, you know, that she believes in the Constitution. I mean, that seems to be, you know, old-fashioned and far gone anymore.
And disappearing.
And disappearing. And we can maybe spend an hour on that, talking about that, about the Constitution. But the bottom line is we need to get our country back, and we need people that believe and are willing to fight for it. And that's what Jill Ray is doing right now. She's going out there and fighting. She's not taking no for an answer.
That's right.
You know, unlike Jeff Merkley, who sold us short. He's one that supported Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had a conversation with the person this morning when I got gas in my car. The station that he works at, he was informed that as soon as Obamacare goes in full effect, they're cutting their hours back to 28 hours.
We're seeing that all over the place. It seems to be becoming the norm now as far as employment. Now it's going to be even more difficult for families to make ends meet. I mean, there's going to be moms and dads that are going to have two and three jobs to make ends meet, or hello to welfare. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live on welfare. But I definitely don't want to have two or three jobs to make ends meet and then neglect my children. So if we want to change this, if we want to salvage our Constitution and salvage our liberties and civil rights, we're going to have to make some changes. People are going to have to wake up and start voting.
They're going to have to start getting involved.
Get involved. I mean, even if you're not a political person, say you have kids or grandkids in school, run for a board seat on your school board. Get involved. Start going to meetings. You know, find out what's going on, because I'm telling you, this Common Core is, well, you know, the U.S. is not known for being up there with the sciences and the math like other countries. I mean,
right.
We're ranked really, really low. It's only going to get worse. I still have two children myself that are in school, and
mm-hmm.
you know, middle school and high school, and then we have two that are in college, and I'm so glad that our older two missed out on the Common Core.
You want to kind of highlight what Common Core? I haven't heard of it until just recently myself.
Well, Common Core is a new set of standards, basically. I just strongly encourage people to check out Common Core for themselves. I am not a proponent for Common Core. I actually would like to see our state, the state of Oregon, like other states that are becoming very active and reversing Common Core,
mm-hmm.
and telling the administration, nope, we're not putting this in our school. We're rejecting it. And a lot of schools, I mean, everyone has implemented Common Core, but they're starting to figure out it's not working.
Right. You think new math was bad. The examples I've seen of Common Core is like taking 250 plus 350, which would be simple math, but they can make it like a 15-step process almost to try and figure it out. And they use that instead of saying that it equals this, the term is what satisfies or rough.
Yeah, what satisfies this problem or
right.
something to that effect. What is your conclusion? Well, I don't think teaching our children, like in the state of Oregon, every couple of years the kids have to take OAKS tests, which is the Oregon's standardized tests, you know, to see
okay.
what their placements are or whatever. Or what their progression is through school. I don't think that our main focus should be teaching our children how to take a test. Learning the content and being able to apply that and comprehend that is more important, I think.
Right.
You know, and I would love to see my children being challenged. And now, if you have a child that is, you know, above and beyond, started reading early or whatever the deal, or excels in one subject and, you know, the rest of the class doesn't, then that child is just sort of stuck there.
Exactly. Is that kind of like the same way of where in a race, if you won, you got a prize. If you participate now, you get a prize. You showed up.
You showed up. So yes. You automatically get an A, or you get your trophy at the end of the season or whatever. So now there is no – they don't give kids incentive to challenge themselves.
Nice.
When my two youngest were in elementary school, they have this program called Accelerated Reading.
Mm-hmm.
And the particular school that both my youngest two children went to, the teachers would give out special prizes, which if you got to a certain level, read so many points worth of books, then you would get the certain treat, which kind of provided a little opportunity for the kids to be competitive with each other.
Right.
And you would be surprised at how many kids really held on to that and accelerated and wanted that big prize, like, you know, the prize at the end of the school year if you made the 1,000-point club or whatever. You go to the swimming pool and go out for ice cream with your teacher.
Right.
You know, that's cool. That's neat for a kid to be able to participate in something like that. Those programs I don't have an issue with. It's Common Core, where why is what is in their textbook such a secret now? How come my child doesn't bring home his textbook? Why is it just a print-off and he's told to do these? And, you know, it's brainwashing. It's another way for the system to have control over your children. One of the things that really killed me about the time that they were starting to implement the Common Core, I can't remember the lady's name, I hope you do, I believe it was on MSNBC, she came out and said, your children don't belong to you. They belong to everyone. They belong to the state. And I'm like, what the heck is this all about? I'm raising my own children. I pay for all their food and medical and dental and house them and pay for their sports and their braces and their gas in their car, you know. Since when did my children become your children? They don't belong to everybody.
Well, if that's the case, they can start contributing to...
child support then if you think you are entitled to my child. You know, I want my child, all my children, to have the ability to think for themselves. And I'm a firm believer that Common Core doesn't allow that for children.
Well, I wonder why they're getting away from the basic, the 3 hours reading, writing, arithmetic. And like you say, teaching people how to think instead of going in a circle to add three numbers together. You know, what's the whole purpose of this? Is it to try and simplify it for that No Child Left Behind? Or?
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started on No Child Left Behind. I really do think that was the worst thing ever. And it certainly was the stepping stone for Common Core. And, let me tell you, the No Child Left Behind Act. The numbers of children that don't graduate from high school or graduate with a less than average ability to read and comprehend or do basic math is it's deplorable. It's awful here. And I think our kids should be challenged and have the same educational opportunities as other countries do. I mean,
well, here's a challenge for the kids. I was very surprised when I went to college that this is actually an issue. How many people out there have heard of the phrase analog clock and know what that means.
I think there's a good chunk of adults that probably don't know what an analog clock is. You know, kids that are in their 20s, or I would say adults that are in their 20s, they probably have no idea.
Exactly. And so they can't tell time. And this was in college that I went to. This is at the University of Oregon, where there was actually students there that could not tell time because it was not a digital clock.
Oh, my goodness.
And that kind of tells you about where we're at nowadays as far as instructions and people teaching.
I am also surprised by the amount of people that don't know how to read a compass. Well, that's not the direction my car says I'm going. You know? I don't care what the compass in your car says. Do you know how to read a compass? I was really surprised about that. My husband's in the military, and we were teaching our boy, he's our youngest, he's 12, how to do some land navigation and using a compass and protractor and a map and kind of doing it old school. And we did a little treasure hunt, and I was really surprised that him and his friends had no idea on how to read a compass,
right,
or how to utilize the protractor and a map. It's not GPS.
Yeah, if you don't have a GPS, I'm lost.
And, you know, my husband says, you know what grid coordinates is? Have you learned that in school? And they're looking at him like he has a third eye, you know. So, yeah, I think our kids need to be challenged. Common Core is not going to do that. And I feel really bad for the kids that are in junior high right now, that will go through high school with Common Core. What are they going to do when it comes time to take their SATs? How are they going to be prepared for college? Are they going to be able to handle college life?
Exactly. Or like my experience in college is that they treated you like you're in grade school. You know, it's supposed to be advanced learning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like Lonnie said earlier, is that the graduates that are coming out compared to how graduates are overseas is pathetic, especially when you look at the amount of money that is spent on college. I mean, I have my own experiences, which I won't go into right now, but all I can say is that the coffee was good. But anyway, 646-721-9887. This is Lonnie's first time on the radio here. She is a campaign manager for Joe Ray Perkins and can take your questions right now, 646-721-9887. And or anything else that you'd like to talk about, give us a call. Let her see what it's like to take a phone call live on the air, 646-721-9887. If nothing else, we're going to hand her kids a phone and tell them to call her just so she can see it. So we'd rather hear from you right now. Not that we don't want to hear from her kids, but she can see them all the time. But we'd rather hear from you right now, 646-721-9887, and let us know what you think about the elections or anything else you'd like to speak about. Lonnie has a wide variety of knowledge that she's more than happy to share.
My children won't call anyway. They have thumbs. They only text.
Well, they can text too, by the way. blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. You can join us in the chat room, which is open right now.
You know, going back to the whole school issue, when I was in college, if you didn't have your assignments done on time, you got an F. You didn't get an extension. I see now more often than with my kids, if their sports get in the way or their extracurricular activities get in the way and they didn't get all their homework done, teachers are like, it's okay, turn it in, can, and they still get good grades. I mean, how does that work? That's not teaching them anything. I mean, how are they supposed to be prepared for college and meeting deadlines? I mean,
right.
You can't go to work and have your boss tell you, I want this done on Tuesday, and then say, oh, well, I might not be done with it until Thursday. I mean, that's not going to work. You'll get fired.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not going to get credit for just showing up anymore.
No.
I don't know. Of course, some places are just the company I work for, they give you a reward if you actually show up and don't miss any days.
See, that's pretty nice reward.
Yeah, but old school, in my generation, you want to work. Well, of course, back then we were silly. We had loyalty to the company, and that gets you long ways nowadays. But, you know, it's called worth.
Yeah.
And if you're just going to just show up and get, like Lonnie says, get a good grade and or just participate and get a prize, why put the effort in? You know, what are you learning as far as, well, just life in general, you know, especially responsibility?
Yes, I see very few kids. And when I say kids, I mean, you know, teens to 20-somethings. That are lacking a work ethic. My husband and I were both raised in environments where we didn't have a choice. We had to work. Yeah. You know, my husband was raised on a large ranch, and I was raised by a business owner, and I spent my summers working for my father's business, and my husband spent every day working for the family ranch. So it's weird to see teenagers that, oh, well, I'm too good to go drive a tractor for the summer, or I can't chop wood during the summer, you know, or pick berries. I mean, I started picking berries when I was 9 years old, and I paid for my own school clothes, bought my first horse by picking berries. You know, and doing summer jobs and babysitting and whatnot. And you just don't see that anymore with kids.
Well, you're not allowed to. New labor laws, in fact, they were even trying to pass a law, labor law, that kids on the farm cannot help out. And especially, they would not be allowed to see an animal in pain or suffering, which on the farm, that's daily life. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's daily life. And who are these people that are trying to pass this law? Are these the same people that are proponents for abortion?
Yeah.
I mean, why does that – that makes no sense to me at all. None whatsoever. A child cannot work – you know, families should be exempted from that. I mean, when my husband was growing up, school started in August. You got out in May, and you always had 2 weeks leeway where the kids, you know, they knew it was time to get those crops in or plant or, you know, it was calving season. If, you know, my husband didn't make it to school one day or for a couple of days, it was because they were working.
Right.
And I think families need to be exempt from things like that. Even when I was a kid, I had to get a worker's permit.
Exactly.
Able to work. But that was outside of the family business.
Right.
So, but inside the family, boy, my dad could abuse us any way he wanted to. All of us kids had to work, so.
Well, like when I was growing up, I picked strawberries, I picked beans, and oh, my God, I even picked rhubarb with these knives that are so sharp that they'd cut your finger off. Nowadays, you're not even allowed to even own anything sharper than a pencil.
Yeah. Did you hear about the kid? His dad's a professional fisherman, and mine's yesterday or this morning. His dad, he used his dad's car to go to school, and his car was on the random check list. Well, his dad's a professional fisherman and left one of his fishing knives in the car, and the boy was suspended. Suspended.
And he wasn't on school grounds?
He was on school grounds.
Oh.
But I'm just thinking this zero tolerance is going a little bit too far. I mean, this is part of the kid's family. I mean, it's part of his dad's trade. And how was he supposed to know that it was in there? But he gets suspended because one of his dad's tools is in his car?
Yeah.
It's getting a little ridiculous. Well, just like the little boy kissing the girl on the cheek and gets suspended from school for sexual harassment. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, we covered that on last week's program, the 5 or 6-year-old, and it was just totally innocent. And the child is asking, "What, mommy? What's sex?"
Yeah, I none of my kids ever did that, but I probably would have had a heart attack if at 6 years old they asked me, what's sex?
Well, I want to know a little bit more about this random that you're talking about.
Random. The random search.
Right.
Well, like when, you know, at the high school, they, you know, randomly search lockers and vehicles that are on, you know, the vehicles that are parked on campus and whatnot.
How can they randomly search a vehicle? A cop can't randomly search a vehicle. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
I don't know how they get away with doing that. I would suspect that they have to get consent from the child. And I guess if the child refuses, I'm sure that gives them probable cause just by the refusal. In their minds, I'm sure that's how they look at that. So this particular kid with the knife in the car, it was his dad's work knife, I believe he gave consent for the search, but his car was on the random,
right,
you know, checklist. So, but I believe he did give his consent because he didn't feel he had anything to hide, you know.
Or he was threatened. I know some businesses. I worked for a company that said that if your car is parked on our premises, we reserve the right to search it.
Yes.
At which case I would say, okay, well, if you want to search it, first, number one, you're going to get a warrant. And if you threaten my job, then I'll just move it off your property. Now it's all property. We'll take it from there. Of course, I probably lose my job by challenging it. But
yeah.
But still, since when do you give up, especially kids, when do you give up your right to privacy? I mean, it's bad enough that when you go to school now, you go through lock gates. Some schools you go through a scanner. I made a delivery to a school a couple of years ago, and everybody has to wear a badge.
Mm-hmm. You have to sign in and wear a badge. And I'm glad that in our community, I haven't seen anything like that. You know, we don't have metal detectors and cops scanning kids and violating their rights. That's disturbing. I know that there are some large cities that do that, and you know, maybe they need to do that for where they live. But I'm certainly thankful that we don't have to deal with that where we live.
Yeah, but that could be coming.
Could be, and if we don't change things, it will be.
Well, it gets like one of the analogies that I use on the program a lot is. Like lab mice, when they're confined, after a while, because of being confined and the movements restricted, will turn violent. And I think in a way that's kind of where we're going with society, you know, like the examples of the school being locked down, having to wear ID, you know, that could be extended outside of school sometime in the future. We're having cameras all over the place. Facial recognition cameras. The state wants to, well, state and federal government wants to put GPS systems in your car to track your movements. The federal government is 2018, wants to have so every vehicle coming out on the market communicates with every other vehicle and
mm-hmm.
and with traffic lights and whatever, so there's a constant communication and they can communicate, they can track you.
Yes, and this technology will allow them to turn your car off.
Right.
And, you know, they're already doing that with our cell phones and our netbooks. And they can, whether our device is on or not, they can turn them on and listen. They can turn your camera on your phone.
Exactly.
Or your laptop or your TV. Some of these TVs have built-in, you know, Netflix and Skype and internet access, and, you know, you can put them on Wi-Fi. Actually, I didn't realize it, but a couple of years ago, our TV died. It was an old, big, huge thing that weighed like 500 pounds.
Uh-huh.
And so we bought one of those really nice flat screen. It was, you know, kind of a big treat for our family because we didn't have anything that fancy. And we realized that all these programs that were programmed into our new TV I was cleaning it one day, and I said, oh, my God, there's a camera in our TV.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I get the black electrical tape out and covered that up. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that is so creepy. I'm not a big fan of being spied on in my own home.
No. No, there's been cases, too, that I can't remember the lady's name, that somebody turned on her camera and they were spying on her and actually put it up.
Wasn't that Miss Teen USA?
Yes.
Yes, they used those pictures. They threatened to use them for blackmail. Schools will do that with the school-issued laptops and iPads. I've heard of that in the news. Yeah, it's kind of scary. It's kind of scary. I mean, some of these cameras, they not only is a facial recognition, but they recognize your stride,
right.
You know, how you walk.
And they have programs now that are supposed to predict that you're going to do something bad before you do it.
Yeah, I don't even know what I'm thinking half the time. I mean, my head's like an airport with no traffic control sometimes with all the stuff that's going through there. So I don't know how the heck they can do that. But we have got to stop it. I mean, we just have to stop. What's wrong with liberty and freedom? Why do people want to keep pushing for these agendas that are going to take us to socialism? I mean, why would we want that here when we fought so hard for freedom and liberty? And in my opinion, socialism is just soft core communism. So socialism leads to communism.
And that's kind of where we're going with our government right now. 646-721-9887. One segment that we do on the program from time to time, and give Lilani a chance to show it, is a segment called What the Heck Are They Thinking? And that's where we...
You've got to be kidding me.
What the heck were they thinking?
Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, since we are talking about school issues, I'm sure this will get Leilani's smoke coming out of her ears. This is, even though this is a couple months old, this is out of... where a 17-year-old high school senior in Georgia, actually, it all started out with a very innocent hug. And basically what the, trying to find the guy's name here, looks like they're kind of holding on to it. I can speak today. Anyway, he's a senior, plays football. He's getting ready for lacrosse lessons. And... got excited and gave his teacher a hug and got a one-year suspension.
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't heard that story.
Now, the kids' elders, as they call it, says that she and her son called themselves huggers, and they were dumbfounded to learn that their son's suspension after hugging a teacher. Surveillance video captures the hug in question. Oh, my God. It was a hug. And... showing that Sam placed his arms around the teacher and gave her a hug. The teacher then pushed him away. According to the discipline report obtained by WGCL, the teacher said Sam's lips and cheeks were touching her neck and that she had warned Sam about hugging in the past. Maybe she's concerned about being vampires. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
But
a little overkill. So on what grounds did it, are they saying it's sexual harassment or
they're basically just saying that because of the child has been warned not to hug, which I can see, you know, in a sense of the violation, especially, you know, a kiss on the neck, whatever, that because they've been warned before that that's the reason for the suspension. It says if the parent's concerned about the outcome of the panel, he, she, of course, is entitled to go against the board. But since this is a disciplinary issue, the law prohibits the district from sharing details about the student's situation, of course, and the parent's past and the student's past disciplinary history. need new dentures.
Well, how convenient that they can't share details.
Well, what's really bad is that, as it says here, he only has 5 months left in his senior year, and now he's got a one-year suspension.
That's just ridiculous. 1 year for a hug, it's a little overkill.
Right.
See, this zero tolerance policy has just gone way too far. It's time for the pendulum to start swinging back towards the center a little.
Exactly.
And I mean...
Well, it makes people so paranoid.
Wow.
As we're talking about just being in a lockdown situation, like a jail situation in school, what's that going to do in your future? You know, you're going to be so afraid. Either you're going to be afraid to even breathe, or you're going to go through life thinking, oh, la-da-da-da, I don't care. Take care of me. I showed up for this. Give me a paycheck.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just too far one way, and it's a little much. It's getting ridiculous.
So your opinion on that, 646-721-9887. We're going to run another 20 minutes here, and so you still got time, 646-721-9887. Let's show Lalani how this works. Again, you can send us a text right now. We're blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. Chat room is open. Even on Facebook, if you want to. Blog Talk Radio, KRBN Radio. And anything that's on your mind, you want to talk about Joe Ray Perkins' campaign for U.S. Senate and how she's being treated? Do you want to talk about politics in general? Do you want to talk about Obamacare? Oh, yeah, you should see Lalani's eyes right now. I know I lit a fire on that one.
I know you can't hear my facial expressions, but I have some great opinions about Obamacare. I heard that Colin Powell had called he said that he, something to the effect that he was a proponent for a single-payer system. And I'm thinking, well, gee, you know, Obamacare was kind of set up for that reason to lead us to that. Do you really honestly think that they did not know that it was going to fail, that the website wouldn't work?
Well, here's one for you. If you go back to 2008, both Nancy Pelosi and President Obama both said publicly that they want a single-payer system.
Yes.
Right out of their mouth. So there's no conspiracy or, you know, theory or whatever. They both came right out and said it.
Exactly. The reason why I brought up Colin Powell is because he's supposed to be a Republican, a conservative, and I'm surprised that I heard that come out of his mouth, but I guess I'm not really that surprised. More rhinos are popping up one after another, more often than not lately. I think with the Obamacare website failing, I don't think it failed. I mean, if you think about the amount of people that actually went onto the website and tried to sign up, those people that did that have just given all their banking information, all their personal information, to the government, basically.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, we're data mining is what we're doing with that website. So they're collecting information on we the people.
Well, and to take that, Lalani, you may not know this, but I have a degree in computer science, and as I showed her the picture of my studios, you know, I'm surrounded by computers, so I know a little bit about them. In advertising, one of the biggest payoffs for an advertiser is knowing your surfing habits, what you do online.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, a term that's very common, probably most everybody heard of it, is a cookie on your computer, although most people probably don't understand what a cookie is. But what a cookie can do is when you go to any website, it puts a cookie in your computer that says, you're here, and it stores basic information. With that information, if you come back, say, an hour later or 2 hours later, when you go back to that website, it's going to recognize that it placed a cookie on there. So now it knows that you at least went to this website twice. And it can also determine how long you're on the website. And that's called tracking cookies and advertising them. That's why there's programs like DoubleClick that's in everybody's system. I've tried for years to get rid of it. It's actually a private advertising company. All right. Now, with that information, like Lonnie was just saying, you go to the government website. The first thing that happens when you go to that government website is they put a cookie in your computer. Now they know your IP address. They know who your service provider is. They know the general area that you're located at. So they now have this information. And so they can track your surfing habits with that information. Now, in addition to that, which advertisers would drool over, is you now, when you sign up, you're now providing them with your name, address, social security number, where you work, and other personal information. So the information that you're freely giving people just because of Obamacare, and that's personally why I think that President Obama fought so hard during, the last threat of the shutdown. This last one was a joke. They didn't even try. But the one before where he started shutting down all the parks and everything and put up such a big stink over it, they want that data mining. They want that control, and that's basically what it's all about. Obama said in 2008 that he has a vision for America. The bad thing about it is that it's not the same vision that the rest of us have, or the founding fathers, in my opinion.
And that's right. There are a select few that want to see government increase and be more controlling over our lives. And I say that if you want to have freedom and liberty, you got to get involved. You at least, by all means, please register to vote and vote for those conservative values, for people that represent those conservative values and will fight for liberty and freedom.
Exactly.
You know, we don't need more government. We have too many cooks in the kitchen as it is. What we need is a smaller government and less restrictions. We need to start bringing back jobs and getting our workforce built up and quit giving incentives to people to make it easy for them to live on welfare and take advantage of the system. The welfare program is there to help people in need when their community or their church cannot do that. That's why that's there. It's
right.
Not there for you to make a living. I certainly wouldn't want to be on it, and I don't begrudge anybody that's been on it. What I do have an issue with are the people that have the mindset, well, why should I go to work when, you know, like that, there was a joke that was circulating around the internet not too long ago of a gal holding her kids, and she said, well, if somebody offered you $1 million, wouldn't you take it? And this was her response, why do you live on welfare?
Yeah.
And that was her response. Well, if somebody offered you $1 million, wouldn't you take it? Well,
it would be awful hard to turn it down.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, you know what, if you didn't work for it and you didn't earn it, you're not going to appreciate it anyway. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that are abusing the system. They don't appreciate what they have. And when the EBTs failed, you know, with the EBTs, the food stamp card, the EBTs, when those failed and it caused such a riot and people were going crazy over that, what happened when we're completely broken, there's nothing to offer?
Well, that's part of the thing, is that, and EBT, I've had to go, I had to go on food stamps before, and I was only on it for 3 months because that's all I needed it. But what's also kind of interesting, too, is that when I signed up for it, because you got to put your Social Security number in, and they said, they looked at me kind of funny and said, Heidi Rodriguez? No, I don't think so. So I ran down to the Social Security office and made sure that I wasn't Heidi Rodriguez. I'm still me, Robin.
Yeah. What makes me sad is I've heard some people say that they have tried to get on welfare. They've, you know, been unemployed or whatever, have kids and they need help making ends meet and they can't get on.
Right.
Or when they go to apply, they're made to feel less than human for being on, you know, for even asking for help.
Oh, yeah.
Which is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the whole reason why we have these programs is to help the people that need it.
Exactly. In fact, get me started on that. We had an elderly person. My roommate's mother was with us, and she got on hospice and other care. They came in and took over the household. We had to put smoke detectors in every room. They told us what type of fire extinguisher. We have a good-sized fire extinguishers in the house. They made us get this little DVD, or I take that back, a huge one, even bigger ones than we had, that she couldn't even lift. And we had to hire a housekeeper, even though there's three of us living in the house at the same time. So they just came in and took over our lives, basically. So it was just...
Yes. I don't agree with that at all. I think they want to be intrusive. Like, with Obamacare, there's... I call them forced home invasions, mm-hmm. but they're, what do you call them, welfare checks?
Right.
You know, I don't think so.
They want your dependency. They want you, absolutely.
They want you to be dependent. They want you to be afraid that you don't, you know, try to work against the system.
Right. It's just like the joke about the Obama phone. I'm going to vote for Obama because he gave me a free phone. Well, that wasn't even Obama's program.
No. No. Well, I wonder if he's going to pay my mortgage for me.
Oh, yeah, they said that in the beginning, too. Obama money. But here's the sad thing about it, folks, is that it showed just where we are at as Americans here. We don't care about our borders. Anybody can come over, you know. In fact, it's easier to come through the border or, you know, through somebody's farmland than it is to come through the international bridge or whatever. The people that do, I have friends that came through the front door and it cost them lots of money. They spent lots of years to do it. And of course, they're furious that people who are coming through the side door are getting preparation treatment. People... As I joke, like the Oregon Ducks here, for example, I know people that can name all the games for the last 10 years and all the players, and they can't tell you who the vice president is.
Right.
But yet, you know, they'll turn around and complain. And Obamacare, and this is my prediction, so far I haven't been wrong, is we're just now starting this year to see some of the penalties. The penalties that my H&R Block told me this year, if I did not have insurance, it would cost me $395 in penalties. In 2016, when it goes into full effect, that could be several thousand dollars, and this is per person.
Right.
Now, I would like to, at some point, start my own business. I've owned a business before, and I know it costs a lot of money, and that takes a long time before you get money out of your business. Now you just put at least a $2,000 bill on my head at the end of the year, or if I go and try to get insurance, which I hear stories all the time where the cost of insurance per month has more than doubled or tripled. I heard a story just today where somebody, my stepmother's daughter, their family was paying $400 a month for insurance with a high deductible, just doubled to $800.
Oh my goodness.
You know, that's over $9,600 a year just for health insurance. That's a mortgage. That's a mortgage payment.
Yeah.
I don't even use it.
How do you take care of your family when you have to worry about things like that? How do you do that? I mean, I feel blessed. You know, my husband's in the military. We have TRICARE. Pretty much the only change that happened for us is that we can no longer go to urgent care without getting a referral from our family doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So urgent care is pretty much going to be out for us, because if we have to go to urgent care, we might as well either, one, go to the emergency room or go to our primary health care. provider. I can't imagine, with as hard as things have been the last several years, how these families are going to make it. How are they going to get by? I mean, it's already hard enough to raise kids and, you know, keep the mortgage payment up and, you know, pay for just living costs. I couldn't imagine if I had to worry about a premium that tripled. Oh, I know there's tons of families out there that do have to worry about this on a daily basis. I mean, employers are cutting back hours, and the premiums are changing whether they cut your hours back or not, because their costs are changing and they can't cover them. So now you have to pay more. You know, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see that. I think we'll see a lot of trickle-down effects, you know,
right.
Foreclosures, more people losing their jobs, more people not being able to take care of their basic needs because they're so worried about staying, one, you know, on top of their necessity bills, staying out of jail or staying away from those penalties. There's just, it's going to be horrible, and it's all in effect to get us on a single payer so we can have a socialized America, which just, we shouldn't even be worried about having to say that in the same sentence. I mean, it's just wrong to hear the word socialist or communism and America in the same sentence. I cannot believe how far we have come. And I almost feel like a frog in a boiling pot. You know, it's just happened progressively slow and quiet over the years, you know, and wham. We just didn't know, we didn't realize that we were being boiled.
Right, exactly.
And now we are starting to feel the heat big time, and everything is starting to happen super fast. And if those of us that want our freedom and value our liberty, if we don't step up together and figure out a way to get our voices heard, doing things like this, or, you know, having your own YouTube channel, or
right.
making videos, bringing issues to the forefront, and if we don't figure out a way to get prepared to organize. I mean, the liberals, the Democrats, are so good at organizing. They've been doing it for years and years and years. They've got it down to a science. Maybe we need to start taking a look at how they do it and start doing it and start being the squeaky wheel so we can get some attention and change things.
Exactly. And stop accepting the, you have to pass the bill to
know what's in it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why read the bill?
Yeah, that's one thing that I love about Jo Ray. Her and her staff, when she becomes senator, she's not going to vote on anything unless she has an opportunity to read and comprehend, understand, and thoroughly pick any bill that comes her way. She would just absolutely refuse. She will not vote on it.
Right, and that's the way it should be. Instead, for one, there shouldn't be these arbitrary deadlines.
Well, exactly. I mean, somebody said, I had to vote on it so that I could avoid having this. So, you know, cover Oregon. Here comes cover Oregon instead of Obamacare because it was one or the other.
Right.
Well, you know what? You should have read that a little bit better. And you should have still said no. You can't be for it and then against it when it goes wrong.
Right, and on top of, Oregon has an insurance policy for low-income families.
They do. And it's like, I used to work in the medical profession. I'm not a provider, however, worked, you know, behind the scenes, in back office type work, a lot to do with finance and counting, medical billing and coding and, you know, dealing with insurance and stuff. And even in our community, we have special programs that, you know, you can apply for to cover your children. Even if you can't get it, you can still cover your children.
Exactly.
We have Medicaid, but Obamacare is stripping the funds for Social Security, for Medicare, for Medicaid. These things will not be available to you much longer.
Well, and did you know when Obamacare was proposed that they were relying on the young people to sign up?
Well, yeah, but you know what? I don't think they're given a lot of young people enough credit. You know, we see on, especially on media, national media, and TV programs. I don't even watch TV. It infuriates me. But you see these 20-somethings and even some 30-somethings that they have no idea. They can't even tell you who the vice president is.
Right.
They have no idea what the Constitution says.
They know more about Cinco de Mayo than they do what Memorial Day is.
Yeah, or St. Patty's Day, you know, which
right.
is coming up right around the corner. You know, oh, that's the day where we wear green and drink tons of green beer.
Exactly.
You know, let's go down to the Irish pub.
And I like it, too.
Yeah, well, you know, I like it, too. But here's the thing. They don't have a clue what's going on. They're way too attached to social media and the things that are going on in TV, but there are a lot of young folks out there that are very aware of what's going on, and they're not happy about it either.
Right.
And I see, even when we go to visit college campuses, you'd be surprised at how many young kids that are just as disturbed over what's going on as we are.
And they used to sing and make YouTube videos about praising Obama.
Uh-huh.
You know, where, in my opinion, I mean, yes, we as a country, I thought we grew because we elected a black president. You know, we didn't really pay attention to the fact, really, because of his color, because of what he offered. And because we did that, all we hear anymore is that if you criticize a president, you're racist. That's why I think that, my opinion, why they're pushing to get Hillary in, because they've enjoyed the racist card. Now they want to go with the sexist card.
Yeah.
But as you're mentioning, going to these places with Joe Ray, what's some of the common questions or common issues that keep coming up?
I think, well, as far as Oregon goes, and with some of the questions that come up for Joe Ray at these events, what about Oregon jobs?
Uh-huh.
You know, what do we do? How are you going to, you know, fix the timber industry or bring what kind of incentives? So what are you going to do to help, you know, with the incentives for creative minds and business owners? I mean, what do we have? We have Weyerhaeuser, which is kind of everywhere. We have Nike, which, you know, tell me what jobs other than corporate jobs are there?
Eugene is becoming the call center capital of Oregon.
Yes. Yes, it is. It certainly is. It's starting to spread up here in our little community, too. We have, cell phone insurance call center. I can't remember what carrier it's for, but, people are, they're concerned. They're asking questions, Some of the questions are things affect our civil liberties, and now I can't talk. It's contagious. Civil liberties and, you know, our Constitution. I think we're all worried that our constitutional rights are slowly being stripped away. When Joe Ray is elected. And I know you might raise an eyebrow when I say that, but I know she's going to be elected. I have to believe that we are going to have somebody that is strong back there in D.C. representing we, the people, here in Oregon. I have to believe that. And I don't see another candidate that is running. And not that I want to take any talent or say anything bad about anybody else that's running against Merkley alongside Joe Ray. I think everybody has something special to offer. I just happen to think that my candidate, our candidate
right.
for U.S. Senate, is the most special lady and the right lady for the job. She is a woman of conviction and unwavering integrity. And I don't see her compromising her integrity to appease any special interest group or anybody else.
Well, and I will also give her credit, too, that from my experience and from what I see on Facebook, she has put herself out there that an average person like myself or like anybody else can go on there, can go on Facebook, or can send an email, and she will answer the email. She's made herself available. If you have questions, she'll answer them. She's not afraid to hide from the questions. In fact, even when she was on Lars Larson not too long ago, he blindsided her with a very difficult question. She answered it. She's very knowledgeable. She says, and this is one of the things I really respect about her, is that she says things and she'll back it up.
Yeah, and she has, she not only talks the talk, but she walks the walk.
Exactly.
And her mind is, she's amazing to me because I don't see, you know, some people like have photographic memories. I don't know if she does, but her mind is like a steel trap. She
right.
can remember dates, she can remember pointed facts, you know, different things, and you're like, well, how did you pull that out of your head?
Okay.
And she's spot on, and she's awesome. So she's very transparent. She is who she is. What you see, if you have an opportunity to come see Joe Ray in public, if you were to pop over to her house on Saturday morning and have coffee with her, she's the same person at home as she is out on the road.
Yeah.
So she's just a neat lady. And I believe that she gets my vote, and I believe she deserves
exactly.
And when
people
to be
say,
heading to D.C. to represent us. She's going to do a good job.
And, you know, it would not surprise me at all is that if Joe Ray gets elected, that she will keep these lines of communications with the people open.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, getting back to how you can help, you know, how you can support her, in addition to the traditional ways with the bumper stickers, go to the Facebook site, like her on Facebook, get out there and I know there's a petition going. Did they get enough numbers to?
I'm actually going to be dropping that off. Now, I didn't get to go travel with her today, and I won't be able to travel with her tomorrow. But we are so close. We just need, you know, a few more signatures, and we're done. And I plan on taking it up around lunchtime and dropping it off on Thursday and meet the deadline to drop that off. We, you know, as far as the campaign goes, you know, when we're out on the road, especially Joe Ray, because sometimes she has to go by herself. I can't always go with her. She needs prayers. She needs support.
Right.
And, you know, if you find it in your heart and you can help our cause, you know, with a donation, whether it be a one-time donation or, you know, you commit to donating every month, whatever you can afford, that is great. Go to our website, hit the donate button. You know, you can even call us. I mean, Joe Ray doesn't turn anybody away. She talks to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to talk to me, talk to Joe Ray. If it's something she doesn't necessarily handle, she'll say, call Leilani. So, you know, we could definitely use your prayers and your support. So, you know, you can always go to www.perkinsforussenate.com and check her out. Check out the pages on the website and, you know, see what she's all about if you haven't heard about her before. So, or are wanting to more information.
Exactly. And if you want to as well, you can always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll forward your questions. And also, we're going to try more of these forums. Again, this is kind of like introducing Lonnie to Internet Radio. We do have more things planned in the future. We're going to try and get some debates and do some more remotes. Right now, I'm not in the main studios in Eugene. We are on location in Albany, and which is a good experiment for that. But we're going to try to get some roundtable discussions. But to do all this, we need your support. We need you to go to JoLay's Facebook, like her, come to our page, like us. Please like us. but, you know, listen to the shows as well, because the numbers show that if you're checking us out, it will show. And if you would let us know if you'd like more of these type of forums. The mainstream media, the conferences is already showing that they've already picking who they want to be the winner, and that's taken the vote away from us. We've had that happen too many times. But again, unless you're going to get involved, at the very least, hit that like button and go to the polls when they're offered and do what you can. Even if you don't have the money, you can, if you're on Facebook, hit that like button. Let her know that you're out there and you're supporting her. And if you have questions, don't be afraid to ask.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. We kind of went a little bit over, but that's okay. And again, I want to thank Lonnie, who's JoLay Perkins campaign manager. JoLay's running for U.S. Senate. And I invite her to come on in the program again sometime in the future. And again, Lonnie, it's your first time on radio. You get really...
Yeah, I'm a little bit shaky, a little bit nervous. She's a pro at this, like JoLay is. She does this all the time. So thank you for having me.
Really
appreciate it.
Yeah. I think I'll get her addicted, and even more so, we'll try and support digital phone calls. So again, remember our regular program Saturdays 4 p.m. and we'll see you then.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.